We are trying something new today here on Yolitics.
We're looking back at a couple episodes. Is that what you're talking about or something else?
No, I'm talking about something really new.
We're trying beer?
When's the last time the two of us had an IPA?
That is, I don't recollect that.
We never drink IPAs.
We don't, but we got a gift.
This is a special occasion.
It's a Yolitics World Headquarters.
Look at here. This, T1.
Can you buy this? I don't think you can even buy this.
I don't think it's for sale yet.
It's not Terminator.
No, it's not. It is. This is a gigantic solar company, solar panel producing company that we just did a podcast with not long ago. They have this enormous fabrication center just south of Dallas where they are cranking out, what was it, like 20 or 25,000 solar panels per day?
Yeah, it's the largest in the country, I believe, isn't it?
It's amazing.
And it's right, you know, who would have guessed that it's just south of the Dallas skyline, inside Dallas County. I had no idea that it was down there.
And there it is. And this, I remember that this plant that we were at is like more than half a mile long, just the plant.
Massive,
I mean, it's enormous. But so they created their own beer.
Yeah, not only do they produce solar panels, they produce solar haze.
Oh, I was going to ask you, did you look at the name?
I did, and it's from St. Elmo Brewery in Austin.
That's
have you
awesome.
Been there yet?
I don't know. I think we did do St. Elmo when we were doing one of the podcasts.
It sounds familiar. How is it? So this is an IPA.
It's pretty decent for an IPA. I don't usually drink IPAs. And mind
you can smell it before. Wow. You smell it, Daryl?
And this is also, we're drinking it a little bit warm because we didn't chill it quite like we should have. But, you know.
Solar haze.
That's actually really good.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Kind of citrusy.
Doesn't taste what you would like.
You know I like a citrusy beer.
It has fruit in it. You would like it. Hey, before we move on, first of all, thanks to T1 for the six-pack of Solar Haze here.
That's really good.
We appreciate that. Thanks
for having us on too. I think they're onto something there, too.
But let's go back even further. We did a podcast 10 episodes back, probably 5 episodes back.
Yeah.
Something big happened last night you attended.
You should listen to this if you haven't listened to it. It's the one on the Prison Entrepreneurship Program here in Texas, PEP. And basically, you know, just in a nutshell, they take all of these guys who are about to get out of prison, and you have to want to be in the program. You got to, you know, really go through some rigors to be a part of this. But they take these guys and they just do incredible things with them to teach them job skills, business skills. They try to turn them into entrepreneurs, and they've succeeded with a lot of these guys who are coming out. And this program has just expanded and expanded. They've got other states just ringing their phone, like, how are you doing this? What are you doing? How can we copy what you're doing? Because their recidivism rate among these guys is so low, because they get out, they do well, and they never go back in.
It's incredible, because you know you hear so much about, let's give inmates who are coming back out, let's make sure we give them job skills. This teaches them to be their own business owner.
Right.
And the guy we interviewed was fantastic, and he talked about, I think, one or two businesses that he had started.
Yeah, he's...
But just a great guy.
He's been a busy guy.
Yeah.
And, you know, the great thing is they even have, like, this funding mechanism where they, you know, have a couple of $1 million where they're able to approve loans for these guys who are coming out, who are trying to start a business. And the one thing on the application that you have to get right is you have to be able to check the box that says, I have been a convicted felon.
Wow. Which everyone's afraid to check, usually.
Yeah, usually that prevents you from getting a loan. You have to have that background to get these loans.
So last night you went to an unusual place to kind of celebrate this.
The Dallas Country Club. And they had an enormous event there. It was a fundraiser because, you got to fund all of this to be able to do this kind of magic. And so they had this fundraiser, and they also had this Shark Tank style competition where they actually had several former inmates pitching their business ideas. And to a panel of like really big wig business owners. Yeah.
Someone won money, you said, right?
Yes, someone walked away with a $30,000 check to have some seed money there. And they missed you. There were a lot of Jason Whiteley fans there last night. I'm like, I'm that other guy who is his sidekick.
I let my country club membership expire, so they're probably asking why I didn't renew it.
I'm sure you did. So the reason that we're here today is
a different, totally different topic.
Totally
here,
brand
right?
new episode. Yeah. We're all over the place today. So this is, we're talking about Y'all Street, okay? So you've probably heard by now this whole moniker about Y'all Street, Wall Street moving to Texas, the stock exchanges setting up shop here.
So the New York Stock Exchange has a shop here.
Yes.
So they're going to start trading. But that's not the only market that's going to be here, right?
Not at all. So, you know, and the Texas Stock Exchange.
Completely different.
Yes, rightly says, and they were the first to announce. Boom. This is a huge undertaking. They have raised a ton of money and have some huge names behind this Texas Stock Exchange. You're going to see this. TXSE is what they, what its
letters are. Like NYSE.
Correct. And so TXSE announced in 2024 in the summer, hey, we're going to start this. We're going to start our very own stock exchange, and we're going to base it right here in Texas because this is where the center of gravity is for the for generations to come. It's going to come in. It's going to come in from places like New York, and it's going to come to Texas, and we want to be here. And so they said, we're going to set up shop. We're going to do this. And lo and behold, the next year, the New York Stock Exchange, NYSE, said, you know what? We're going to open a Texas branch too. And then NASDAQ said, we're also going to open a Texas branch. And TXSE says, it was only because of us that everybody else decided to come here. But the other two big legacy exchanges from New York say, well, no, you know, it's because we also see that Texas is becoming sort of a center of opportunity. And most of our, Texas has more listings, for instance, on the New York Stock Exchange than any other state.
Really?
And so
even Delaware, huh?
Correct. So, so they're saying we have a lot of listings that are headquartered in Texas, and so we want to be there and we want to expand opportunity. So what this is going to mean is they say there's going to be so much growth here, so many jobs here. This will juice the Texas economy, which will have far-reaching implications for all of us. But at the same time, they said, you know, we're going to get a bunch of businesses that are going to want to come online and be able to raise money by selling stock. And, you know, businesses that maybe didn't list themselves on a stock exchange before will now have that
public
opportunity.
Really?
The interesting thing is going to be, so NYSE Texas just started trading earlier this year. NASDAQ Texas also just started this year.
TXSE is coming up?
Is coming up in July. TXSE had a much bigger lift. They had to create this thing from the ground up. Mm. The other two already had sort of the infrastructure in place, and they can easily avoid what's called the empty restaurant syndrome because they can just basically say, hey, anybody who's listed on our New York stock exchanges can go ahead and just list here as well. So it's these are dual listings so far that they've
got. Well, let me ask you this. So if I'm interested in investing in the TXSE, the Texas Stock Exchange, when it comes online in July, do I do anything specific for that stock exchange, or do I find a business who is listed on that stock exchange?
There's a lot that we don't know about how that's going to work yet. And there's an assumption that we'll see a lot of dual listings there too. So you might have companies that are listed with the New York Stock Exchange, and then they decide to list with the Texas Stock Exchange as well. The TXSE, what I'm interested in seeing is how economical do they make this? Because basically they're saying these other two big ones, they've had sort of a monopoly for all this time. We're going to make this, they say that we're going to reduce the high cost of going and staying public. So that's going to be interesting.
What does that mean?
Basically, like, how much does it cost you as a company
to go public?
To go public and list yourself on a stock exchange because there are fees associated with that.
A lot of fees.
And so they're basically saying, we're going to come in and we're going to change the model. What's going to be interesting to see is, do the others have to adjust to that and start changing their models as well?
My guess is that, you know, if a company charges a heck of, if a market charges a lot less, an exchange does, to list, everyone else is going to do the same thing.
I'm curious too, like, Texas is big. It's huge. A lot of business, et cetera. Is it big enough, though, even Texas? Is even Texas big enough for three stock exchanges? It's wild when you think about it.
Who are we talking to today in this episode?
It's going to be a good one. So, you know, we're trying to, you know, get smarter on all of this stuff because there's a lot about it that, you know, most people probably just don't, you know, keep up with real closely. So we got Edward Crawford. He's the co-founder and co-CEO of Coltala Holdings,
which is
here in North Texas. But he is also one of the new advisory board members for NYSE Texas.
Okay.
And so he's, you know, he's on the inside here. He's able to see, you know, what's going on with all of this and sort of predicting what we might see as we go forward.
Yeah.
But one thing that everybody says is it is going to be big. You see, you know, all of this stuff really come to fruition, it's going to be a big deal
in
Texas.
And when will that happen, though? By the end of the year or what? We already see what's happening in Uptown, just on the north side of the Woodall Rogers in Dallas. with all the development there. There's what, South Lake has a big place. Mm-hmm. Irving has, Las Colinas has development over there too.
I think
when are we gonna see this really spin up?
I think that what they're talking about, nobody will like give you specifics, but I think that what they're talking about, what they're expecting, what I've heard from other experts is they expect that over time, as you go through the next couple of years and you start to see original listings perhaps coming to these exchanges and more businesses wanting to relocate to Texas to be part of all of this, that's when they say this really starts to, you know, come to fruition. And you know, none of this is a mistake. Texas, in the last legislative session, passed a couple of new laws, and NASDAQ specifically cited that as one of the big reasons it wanted to come here. They, you know, Texas has always been known as business friendly.
Sure.
They made it way more so business friendly even, and that sort of lures all of these folks to go, hey, it's time. Let's head down.
Yeah, if you have new companies, I guess, that have never gone public before, that would create new investment opportunity for the rest of us.
Right.
If we decided we wanted to, you know, get into these companies.
Correct. And expect to see a lot of energy companies.
So you did this episode without me. You snuck around behind my back and recorded this one.
That's what happens when you're away on vacation.
All right, well, I'm back.
We have a special guest today. His name is Edward Crawford. He is the co-founder and co-CEO of Cultala Holdings in Fort Worth. And Edward, if you can first give us the reason for the name there.
For sure. Colt is a horse, obviously, but ala, A-L-A, means wing or wing-like structure in both Latin and Spanish. So we like to work with businesses that are running fast, that are strong horses, colts, and help put wings on them, help them grow and go to the next level.
And there's kind of that Dallas nod, too, because a Pegasus, a horse with wings.
100%. We weren't thinking of that when we started, but I remember we were in the Chase Tower and we were looking down and saw the Pegasus at Booker T. Washington, and we're like, oh, we might have done something here.
So. It's kind of like you figured something out without knowing you'd figured it out. But the reason that you're here is not because of Cultala. It is because you are a brand new member of the advisory board for NYSE Texas, the New York Stock Exchange that has come to Texas now, which is why we've got the Y'all Street banner here behind us. Big things are happening here in Texas, and thanks for being with us here so that we can kind of pick your brain on some of this.
Thank you so much.
The first thing I want to ask you is something I didn't even put on my list. When I said I was going to be talking to you, the first person I told that to said, oh yeah, the NYSE Texas, is that up and running now? It has been for almost a year. And then they said, can I trade on it? Like, how do I do that? What do you say to folks who are, you know, kind of bewildered as to what to do with it?
Yeah, so we're open for business, been open for business for a year. 100 listings, have done a lot of dual listings, and so a lot of traction. We'll have our headquarters actually opening up in Old Parkland. Brian has been working on that diligently and doing a great job. Sometime maybe June or July, something like that, I believe. But the best way, you know, right now, you know, I think the chairman of the SEC and others are trying to make IPOs great again, right? And one of the things I think that the governor's behind here in Texas is, hey, let's have people able to, you know, access the liquidity markets, but right here in Texas. People like to do business here. It's, you know, a second headquarters for many companies, like Goldman Sachs is a great example. There's more people from JP Morgan here than there are in New York. And so as businesses look to grow and trade potentially, there's now an option for them to do it here.
Okay, so you're a brand new member of this advisory board for NYSE Texas. What sort of authority do they give you when you step into that role? I know you're brand new in it. Have you been able to use that authority yet? Or how do you plan to use that authority? And what does this look like? What does success look like for this board and for this exchange?
Yeah, I think this board is educating the market on what's available at the New York Stock Exchange, Texas, showing people that there's a way to do dual listings here in Texas and New York, but also to go public here in Texas, right? So really educating people on what's happening here, and then also understanding what the local, you know, matrix looks like. So I've spent, you know, I talk to 250 CEOs and founders a year. We have people on the board that are public company CEOs. Scott Mueller from Goldman Sachs spends his time in the surrounding states in Texas, really covering a lot of wealthy individuals, CEOs, and business owners. And so really helping educate those business owners of, hey, when you go out to raise money, when you go out to grow, this is going to be a new option here. That you might want to do right here in Texas.
Yeah, it's a lot to wrap your head around. So you mentioned it's not just NYSE Texas, it's also NASDAQ, you know, opening a branch here as well. And then we have the Texas Stock Exchange, which is building from the ground up. Once all of this stuff, you know, hits its stride, I mean, we're sort of in the beginnings here.
What real change are we going to notice, you know, here in DFW, here in Texas in general? How will this affect businesses here, jobs here, the ordinary Texan here? What are we going to see with this as it really ramps up?
Yeah, well, I think you're going to see a massive amount of capital coming here, a massive amount of jobs and growth. One of the reasons I got involved in this, because I'm a busy guy as well, is I think this is a generational opportunity to change Texas, right? And what's interesting now is you have a kind of second headquarters. There's two financial capitals now in the U.S. There's New York and there's Dallas. Mm-hmm. And so I think what people can expect is a catalyst for growth, a catalyst for new jobs. The governor, Senator Tan Parker, many of the people behind this movement to make Texas a lower regulation state, bring more jobs here, from the Texas Work Commission to the way we're looking at Texas LLCs versus Delaware LLCs, mm-hmm. is making this state even more competitive. Now, this is a state that has now passed, you know, Russia as one of the larger economies. It's an incredible state. It's been growing for years, but now they're throwing gasoline on it. And I think that the three exchanges coming here is going to demonstrate that, and it's going to be a catalyst for a lot of people that were on the fence in other places to say, hey, maybe we move to Texas. And then a lot of people that are here in Texas saying, hey, I'm going to keep growing my business here, and I can do it through one of these three exchanges. We hope that it's the New York Stock Exchange, Texas.
So now when we talk about jobs, direct and indirect, and these ancillary services and so forth that spring forth when you have, you know, such a sort of center of gravity moving to DFW and to Texas writ large, what are we looking at jobs-wise in 1 year, 5 years because of this change, do you think?
Yeah, I can't give you the exact number of jobs, but I think it's going to be a percentage growth rate much higher than any other state, and maybe many of the other states combined. Hmm. So if you look at the amount of water we're going to need, the amount of employees we're going to need from the Texas Workforce Commission data, we don't have enough employees to truly keep growing, so people are going to have to come in. So we're going to be a net positive immigration state, meaning people coming from other states, I believe, for the foreseeable future.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about this because you touched on it a moment ago, New York. Mm-hmm. There's been so much talk here that this is sort of a tug of war between Texas and New York. There's even been talk that, you know, this is Texas or DFW dethroning New York as the financial center. That's really hard to do. I mean, New York's got a ton there. I mean, if you look at the original NYSE there in New York, it is the most valuable exchange in the world by far. Yeah. What's your take on that for people who are thinking that this is going to be the new financial center and that it will eclipse New York?
So great question. So the way I look at it, the way we look at it is, first of all, when you go to the New York Stock Exchange, it's kind of where America was built, mm-hmm. right? You look across at the J.P. Morgan building, and it's just like got this amazing feel. So I think New York will continue to be one of the financial centers of the world. I think there's a second financial center here. So I think what you're seeing not is a tug of war necessarily between the two. I think you're seeing massive growth in the United States, but you're also seeing Texas just emerge as a second place to do business. And mm-hmm. so I see both of them benefiting from this. We have a great relationship. Lynn Martin, who runs the New York Stock Exchange, is very supportive of this. So I think we'll see both of them grow a lot as financial centers. And we're happy to have this Dallas become the emerging financial center in one of the two in the U.S.
Okay, so you all, NYSE Texas, has been, you know, underway now for almost a year as we're recording this here. And as you mentioned, you know, you all have the great luxury of being able to start off and not immediately have that sort of empty restaurant effect.
Right.
Because you already have more than 100 companies listed on this exchange here. And those are dual listings, which, you know, for people who aren't familiar with that, that just means that the company is already publicly listed on another exchange, like NASDAQ or NYSE, the original one in New York. In fact, most of them are there. When will we see, though, new listings, new IPOs, perhaps Texas companies that are not public companies that become public companies on NYSE Texas? Is that something we see in the next year?
It's a great question. We've actually have initial interest for some of those folks now. So a lot of it will depend on where companies are in their life cycle. You know, historically, a lot of companies were you know, doing IPOs earlier in the 80s and 90s, and now they're doing them later. I think the Texas government, I think the chairman of the SEC, I think both all three exchanges would like people to make IPOs great again, right? To have IPOs happen earlier. So I think as businesses look at these exchanges in the next year or two, I think you might see a couple that are saying, hey, I would like to just go. We've had interest just go in Texas, as well as dual listing. So I think it'll be a both and. And I think it'll be very interesting over the next 2 to 3 years to see how it shakes out.
And I think I heard you say in there you all have already had interest. Like you're hearing from people, there's pent-up demand. People want to get on that exchange and list for the first time.
There are. And there's a great pride in Texas, and there's a lot of business owners that say, hey, you know, I'm private, but if I went public, I'd like to go public here. Hmm. And so that's giving them that opportunity is really, really a neat thing to do here.
Now, is there a problem that NYSE Texas solves? Is there a void that you all fill? Or is there also a piece of this that is about the chessboard and maintaining that relevance and that dominance as an exchange? Because as we mentioned, we've got you all, we've got NASDAQ with a branch in Texas now, we've got the Texas Stock Exchange that's coming online. You know, when you look at New York in particular, the New York Stock Exchange and NASDAQ are, as we said, the most valuable exchanges in the world by far, and certainly the most well-known. Do you worry that at some point, you know, if let's say everybody says, oh, we love this NYSE Texas thing, do you worry that that could cannibalize in any way the amazing operation you've built in New York with the exchange?
Yeah, that's not really a worry of ours. We believe, first of all, those are two great exchanges. And from the New York Stock Exchange, we have 240 or so public companies down here in Texas. And so those companies continue to be listed there. So when you want access to global financial markets, NYSE is a great place, but we're adding an additional capability. So we don't see it as cannibalization. We see it more as a mutually beneficial business proposition and something where some business owners in Texas who might not have gone public at all might have the opportunity to do that right here, which is additive to both exchanges.
Let's talk more about one of the competitors again here. A lot of money and some big names are behind this new Texas Stock Exchange, which is coming up from the ground up. They're aiming, I think, to be the true disruptor here. They're focusing on those new primary listings, those IPOs, maybe bringing new companies public, maybe poaching some that are already on the NYSE and NASDAQ. Is that, and there's a lot of thought that they're going to do that by making their fees to list and stay listed as a public company much less expensive than what's out there right now. Is the Texas Stock Exchange your true biggest competitor? Is that the one you have to keep the closest eye on?
I would say first of all, I'd say both the Texas Stock Exchange and the NASDAQ are formidable competitors. We respect both of them. Actually think competition is a good thing. And there's a way, for the American people on the global stock exchange side and for the people of Texas, the lower regulation, the faster they can go, the better cost structure, and the less bureaucracy, the better for everyone. Because as we all know, Texas has been successful in business largely because we've had very low regulatory environment, very low taxes, and you can, at my company, we started LLCs and you just do it in a day, which is very different from some other places. So we think that the three is actually helpful and respect all the other exchanges, think they all have a purpose and like the leadership of all of them.
So. As I turn down my phone here, because I had no idea that thing was still on, usually it's not, I'll ask, so you said, competition is great, but these are also competitors.
Right.
Do you watch that one the closest, the Texas Stock Exchange?
I don't think we watch it the closest. I think we're focused on our constituency and really our business proposition.
Playing your game.
We're playing our game. We're playing our game, and we don't denigrate any other competitors. We look at them as collaborators to make the markets better, and as we all get better at doing business, we all serve the American people, we serve our clients better. So we really see it that way, and historically, speaking from my standpoint, we've had competitors in different markets, and we've always collaborated to say, hey, how can we deliver for customers better? What systems can we do to lower our costs and make the service better for clients and customers? So I think that's how we kind of look at it.
And obviously, here in Texas, you'll be serving not just Texas, but the Southwest in general. And I'm curious, when you talk about these three heavyweights, setting up shop here in Texas, is there enough pie to go around for everybody? Is there that much pent-up demand, if you will, here in Texas and in the Southwest right now to where all three could flourish?
Yeah, I think there is. If you look at the growth rates of Texas, there is enough for all three exchanges, or at least two of the exchanges, to do well. A lot of it will depend on the continued growth of the state of Texas. And some of that will depend on regulatory environment in other states, mm-hmm. right? We have seen a massive influx from New York, Connecticut, New Jersey, some of those states, and a further influx from California specifically. And as those states change their regulatory environment or are less friendly to business, we'll have, you know, more to do here. But you also have some states around Texas that are growing as well. So those might be opportunities for as well, as we're more of a regional hub.
And it seems like you could, you know, reach out even. Let's say a company is in California. They don't want to move their headquarters, but they would like to list with you all here in Texas. That's a possibility mm-hmm. as well. You're going to have that reach.
Yes.
Let's talk about what's going on here in Texas right now. Just the climate, the environment, mm-hmm. what has happened with business here and employment and people moving here, companies moving here. It really is sort of an astounding engine that has been going for years. Is it hitting a critical mass right now? Is it hitting a point where, you know, what is it that's drawing everybody in right now, these three exchanges?
Yeah, so I think a couple of the things that you're seeing are the regulatory environment for businesses, right? Elon Musk is in Texas for a reason. A lot of businesses, you know, you just saw Palantir move to Florida, for example. So I think there's a tax reason that people are coming here. There's also, from a worker standpoint, there's a good amount of well-trained workers in the state of Texas. And Brian, who is the president of the New York Stock Exchange, has done a great job as the head of the Texas Workforce Commission of making sure that we have that future workforce of Texas, right? Mm-hmm. And so I think that the workforce is also something people are very excited about. My wife's a realtor here in town. We also see a lot of people that want to raise a family in a place like a Dallas or Houston, San Antonio, or Austin, mm-hmm. because it's easier. The schools are great. They have great ISDs. We have kids at two of the public schools here in town and are really thriving in the public school environment here in town. So I think there's a quality of life, there's a tax reason, and there's a business reason to come here. I would say from an infrastructure standpoint, Austin is kind of busting at the seams, mm-hmm. but San Antonio, Houston, and Dallas have a lot more room to grow and have been thoughtfully organized from an infrastructure standpoint. We have a little traffic in Houston and Dallas, I'm not going to deny that, but there's a lot more room for growth. I often, as I drive to North Dallas, wonder if one day I'm just going to be in Oklahoma, because it just North Dallas keeps extending itself. But if you look at a place like a Miami, which I know Goldman Sachs and other places look, hey, do we do a headquarters in Miami or Dallas? When you're looking at those two decisions, you're landlocked. You've got sea on a couple different sides. It's just harder. In Texas,
and swamp on the other.
Yeah. 100%. And in Texas, specifically in North Texas, you just have a massive amount of prairie land that can go be developed into homes and business centers. And so, you know, I was in Florida for a few years and moved back to Texas, and we have found the quality of life here just absolutely amazing.
I call it a swamp. It's really the Everglades, and I should know better because I lived in Florida for a long time. So did you. Yeah. And I would push back on traffic being a little traffic here in Dallas and Houston. It's pretty bad.
75. Yeah.
But by Miami standards, this is nothing.
100%.
So we'll take it all day. Let's talk about Texas laws and you know, it's a very different environment here than we see in many other states, and you've talked about that. Some Texas laws have made it harder and more expensive in some cases for shareholders to hold a company accountable with a lawsuit or to affect change at that company. And there are various reasons that those laws were put into place. How do you balance that as an exchange, that Texas business-friendly model with shareholder rights, because you are an exchange after all? And is there any concern that you might have global investors, big global investors out there, that might in some way devalue companies that list here if they view them as being less accountable to shareholders than a company that's, let's say, headquartered incorporated in Delaware and listed on the original New York Stock Exchange?
Yeah, first of all, I think the accountability is going to be the same. You know, that's a federal regulation, and so I think you know, they may be here in Texas, but at the end of the day, there's federal regulation that comes into play here, and so I think that's going to protect shareholders. So I don't think there'll be a worry there. There's obviously a lot of public companies in Texas, and then a lot of
we'll have to have more buy-in though into a company to be able to, let's say, you know, affect change at that company, mm-hmm. or to file a lawsuit, let's say, against that company to hold them accountable.
Potentially, but you also, if you look at the large private companies in Texas, which there are many that could be public, those companies have many out-of-state investors, many public investors, and many private equity investors that are funded through pension funds and large endowments. And those players fund into Texas because they know not only, hey, it's not just the Wild West here, we protect all the different constituencies. What we try to do is be more efficient with it and do the right thing and cut red tape that is not needed. So I think there's a certain amount of bureaucracy that can be assumed to be protection, when in reality it's just a little bit more red tape. And I think that's, we often talk in Texas as Texans as the speed of trust here. And having done business in other different states and other different countries, including Dominican Republic, Haiti, and Afghanistan, I can tell you the ability to get something done quickly and efficiently in the state of Texas is the fastest I've ever seen anywhere that I've lived on this planet.
Let's talk about some recent court decisions moving against some prior Texas actions. They pushed back on firms that used environmental, social, or governance factors in their investment decisions. Those courts have pushed back on what the state was trying to do there. This is definitely not New York. This state does things its way. How does the NYSE Texas handle political pressures from things like that if and when they arise in the future?
Yeah, that's an interesting question. You know, I haven't gotten into that as much in my role. I think on the politics of things, I think the exchange is looking to just be, do the right things for its citizens. And as political environments change, we can kind of adjust to that and hold the same values. If you look at the New York Stock Exchange, the support for veterans, you know, they do Fleet Week in New York. There's a lot of American flags. So we care deeply about the country and have a lot of patriotism. But kind of staying out of the political realm is also something I think is important because we serve both constituencies, Democrats and Republicans, independents, Green Party, everybody, right?
So. How hard is that to stay out of the politics, though? Because, you know, the environment that we're in now, it's very polarized. And you always have, you hear from people who push. They're pushing companies to speak out. They're pushing perhaps an exchange to speak out.
Yeah.
It's gotten harder than it used to be, hasn't it?
It has, but serving the customer the best and protecting the shareholders is really our job at the end of the day. Mm-hmm. And so I think as things shift, you'll see the two larger exchanges continue to, you know, to be, how do I say this, to understand the dynamic and adapt. Right, and then I think Texas more has a firm approach to how they're handling things.
And that tees this up.
I'm not sure it's as relevant, you know, now with the changes that have changed.
But. Right. So the first listing is always important. The first of anything is always important. President Trump's Trump Media and Technology Group, the parent company of his social media platform, Truth Social, was the first listing on NYSE Texas. You had a lot of companies to choose from there. Why that one? And does that send a message, or is there a political message in that?
Yeah, I don't know that there's a political message in that. I think that was before my time, and so I don't know the background there. But I think it was an exciting company at the time that wanted to take an aggressive approach to be on the exchange. And then I think you had a Jerry Jones company and a couple others, you know, follow on shortly. So I think there was some, you know, when you talk about Dallas and Texas, you talk about leadership getting involved, right? I think what you've seen is a lot of the Texas leadership get involved in all three exchanges, right? And one of the things the New York Stock Exchange, Texas has seen is a lot of leaders like a Jerry Jones get involved early in our exchange. So we're excited about that.
Just to put a finer point on that, though, that parent company of Truth Social, since it is the president's platform, his company, obviously that's polarizing in its own way here in the U.S. As I said, we're a very polarized society now. Are there any concerns that could signal that NYSE Texas is, you know, sort of friendly to a certain group and not just a right down the middle results oriented exchange?
Yeah. So first of all, we are a results oriented exchange. I think to your point, if there were two listings, that would be a little different. But it's just one of many listings that we've had. It just happens to be the first. So that's what I would say to that.
Okay. So you all have been in existence for a little bit less than a year now. Mm-hmm. You're fresh onto this advisory board. When was it? Like a couple of weeks ago, right?
Yeah.
What do you see now as we look out another year? Okay, mm-hmm. So we're almost a year in here. What do you see ahead as we look out 1 year, maybe two from now, not only for the exchange, but also for the Texas economy? I mean, I think some people have scratched their heads and thought, can this keep going like this?
Yeah, Yeah. So I think as we look forward, first of all, I had to, my inbox is blown up, so I'm catching up on all the.
I can imagine.
There's a lot of interest, inbox, you know, social media, that sort of thing. So people are very interested in Yall Street. Mm-hmm. They're very interested in what is going on here. They're very interested in the statistics, you know, 5,500 people moving here from Goldman Sachs. That are all going to be buying houses and renting apartments and that sort of thing. You've got Citadel, these large firms coming down, investing in either exchanges or investing in the community. So I think you have a ton of interest in moving down here. I think a lot of people, to my point earlier, that are on the fence are going to, you know, potentially make the move here now, a lot of companies. And then I think as you look at the next couple of years for the exchanges, I think you'll see some very exciting things as the infrastructure comes and as you see the actual physical exchanges come to bear. Texi has not even, you know, become legal and started yet. So I think once our exchange has its physical presence and everything like that, we already have some physical presence but not the HQ, I think you're going to see a lot of dynamism around it. And with momentum builds more momentum. And Texas has had a lot of momentum, and everybody keeps asking the question, it's like, you know, the Crimson Tide, like, well, are they gonna stop at some point? I would look out over the next 5 to 8 to 10 years and say no.
Are we prepared for this here?
I think certain cities are more prepared for others than others. I think there's infrastructure, there's water, there's roads, there's public services. I think Governor Abbott, Tan Parker, Morgan Meyer, a lot of these either state reps, state senators, and the governor have done a tremendous job of saying, hey, we've got to plan for this because it has been coming. We've grown at massive amounts. We've been able to demonstrate we can do it. Austin is right now, if you drive through downtown Austin, it's under construction.
Yeah, you mean if you park through downtown Austin
exactly.
As you creep down through 35.
You creep down and you get out and walk faster than your car goes. but I think certain, you know, city infrastructure is going to be very important. You've got the kind of the four major cities, but you've also got the Tylers of the world. You've got, you know, other smaller cities that are outside. And I think as these secondary cities grow, they're going to need some infrastructure too. Last time I drove through Tyler, took me a lot longer than 6 years ago.
Tyler's
probably
grown
double,
up.
Right? Oh. And so you're seeing a lot of that happen. But I do think the state is set up for it. I think they see what's coming, and unlike a lot of other states, are prepared for the growth, looking for the employees, the infrastructure, the water, the electricity, everything that comes along with that.
That was
you got to watch out for those ice storms.
Yeah,
right?
That was going to be my last question, actually, until you said the word electricity and ice storms, because obviously we had, you know, the infamous winter storm Uri back in 2021.
Snowpocalypse.
The deep freeze, yeah. And it was terrible. I mean, legitimately terrible. It shut this state down. A lot of people obviously lost their lives in that winter storm. And we had days and days where, you know, we were sort of wondering, is this grid going to totally collapse? Well, since then, this state has made incredible inroads in increasing electricity supply. And we haven't had that many scary days where that, you know, supply and demand line are getting really close again, at least in the last year. How big of a concern is electricity reliability for you all? Because this is a digital only exchange. Like, do you stick all the servers, like backup servers in other states and so forth? Is that
I think a lot of the servers are in New Jersey and some of those other areas as well. But what I would say to that is, you know, there's a saying, you know, you always want to fly with a pilot that just crashed because there's no way he's going to crash your plane. And I think the Snowmageddon was a terrible thing for the state and very devastating. But what the state was able to learn from it in preparing, it could have been a lot worse. I think we all acknowledge that. The state was able to learn from it is when and if, and probably more of a when than an if that happens again, much more prepared. And if you look at the recent storm that we had, just a few weeks ago, it seems, much more prepared too, even the roads. I drove from Austin to Dallas the night of that storm.
Wait, I know you're a motorcycle rider. Were you on the motorcycle?
No.
Okay.
I was in a truck, and
okay,
I went about 45 to 60 the whole way, but you could make it. And I think a couple of years ago, I did some research, and they said, hey, this road is actually going to work. And a couple of years ago, that wouldn't have been the case.
Interesting. We'll close there. That's a weird place to close. Actually, I'll ask you before letting you go here, is there, you know, I don't know what I don't know. Is there anything that I haven't touched on that you think people really ought to know, or something that's coming up, or an important, you know, milestone that we should be on the lookout for as it relates to NYSE Texas?
Well, I think I would look closely at the launches of the various exchanges here.
Lots happening this year.
Yeah, ours will be later this year. And so we will have a headquarters. It's going to be beautiful and state of the art.
The old Parkland?
Correct. Uh-huh. And so think that, and just looking at this Yall Street idea, it was, you know, we're not sure who came up with it at the end of the day, but we want to help be part of kind of leading that movement to bring more capital to this state. And keep more capital in the state and have it come into a lot of the local businesses. So we're extraordinarily excited about that. But I would look out for more exciting things to come. I think there's going to be surprises to the upside with I think there was going to be one exchange and then two and then three. If you look at the governor, he said, I love my exchange. I love all three of my exchanges. And I think this was a surprise to the upside. With growth and momentum will come a lot of other surprises. And I think a lot of companies are looking at that right now. So I would expect some fun surprises. And I would go long on the New York Stock Exchange, Texas. We're very excited about it.
Some fun surprises. Yeah. That's an interesting way of putting it. I've been trying to wrap my arms around what this is going to do to us here in DFW and in Texas, overall.
Yeah.
And it's really hard to, fully imagine it. So fun surprises might be a good way to put it. His name is Edward Crawford. He is the co-founder, co-CEO of Cultala, and also a brand new member of the advisory board for NYSE Texas. And I can't believe that you've been this generous with your time, because it's like, you've got a million things going on, and I don't want to know what your inbox looks like right now, just setting aside this much time. Really appreciate it.
Well, appreciate it. It's very important to me, and I look forward to future growth, and we love Texas. So
thanks so much. Coming. Appreciate
it. God bless. Thank you.